Hello and welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. Here, we pull back the curtain and give you a little sneak peek into all things working at the Walt Disney Company. I'm your host, Natalie. So in this week's episode, we are heading to Europe to speak to two of our country managers representing the Nordics as well as the United Kingdom and Ireland. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, what exactly is a country manager and what do they do? Well, with me here today is Deborah Armstrong, Senior Vice President, General Manager of Networks and Advertising for EMEA and Country Manager for UK and Ireland. And she's going to be sharing a little bit more about her role as well as her Disney journey. So welcome to the show, Deborah. We are so excited to have you here.
Hi, it's wonderful to be here. And I'm so sorry, that's a crazy, insane, long title.
It's honestly, Deborah, when I read the title, I was like, this is sensational. Talk about a powerhouse. So you mentioned there about the title. It is extremely impressive. I mean, but what does it mean? What does it entail?
Yeah, so there are a couple of big components to it. So the first one is along with a colleague of mine called Diego, we look after the media networks business, which is the television channels business for the Europe, Middle East and Africa. So that's channels like National Geographic, our Star General Entertainment channels, our ESPN Sports Channel, and our wonderful kids portfolio with Disney Channel and Disney Junior. And you're essentially looking, I'm looking after the marketing, the advertising. We jointly look after the P&L, and it's a fabulous business and going strong across the region. So that's what we do there. The advertising side of my role actually crosses over between the television channels and the newly launched ad-supported tier on Disney Plus as well. So we've been getting that up and running, which has been great fun. And then the country manager for the UK and Ireland, I think the best way to describe that is that, you know, at Disney, we have such an amazing array of different businesses. We have quite some riches here, don't we? And the job of the country manager is really to create a sense of alignment amongst those businesses, create a cohesiveness across the different areas, to look after our wonderful population of staff, just over 2,500 employees, and really create that Disney ambassador here in the UK market. And it's an absolute privilege,
You said you've had a truly impressive career thus far. So how did it all begin and really what brought you to Disney?
It's funny because you noticed I never said it was an impressive career, which is quite interesting again, because I often talk about how much imposter syndrome I have. So that's very kind of you to insert that. My journey has been, again, just a wonderful set of events and circumstances that have led me to here, which is actually, I feel, the real culmination of my career, and I couldn't be happier. So when I left Poly, I got a one-way ticket to the other side of the world. I landed in Hong Kong. It was an area of the world that I wanted to explore, or was that a passion for travel? And so, you know, I started being a runner. I started doing productions. I'd worked in content at a cable TV company. I'd done a few different roles and ultimately ended up in the really fortunate position of working in an advertising agency where I grew to running a lot of big accounts. And one of those big accounts was CNBC, owned by NBC, who then created a joint venture with National Geographic to start the National Geographic channels. So in 1997-98, I was taken on to launch them. I mean, to literally nuts and bolts, go out to many, many amazing Asian markets as this whole area of international cable and satellite TV was just developing, and actually just build networks. And it was the most incredible and enriching experience. And then over that time, National Geographic Channel was bought by Fox. I started working out the Star and Fox offices, transferred back here in 2002, and really built the National Geographic business, the advertising sales business, and ended up actually being Jan's corporate communications person as well. And then come along Disney and we are acquired. And so I literally walked over the road. You can practically see my old office if you've got a pair of binoculars out and looked across Hammersmith. And came in to pull the advertising and brand partnerships businesses together to continue to work on National Geographic, continue to work on the networks business. And then I'd done a lot of communications work at the beginning of Disney Plus as well. And then I get a call from Jan during lockdown saying, going to be country manager of the UK. Completely a big surprise, but that's how it all happened. Tony Chambers, the wonderful Tony Chambers, was relocating to take on a bigger global role. And can I just say, what a privilege. I have been very curious about what all the different businesses did and do at Disney. And so I had really sort of made an effort to work my way around to understand the business. And I think that really stood in my favor because they thought of me. They thought of me when it became an open role, and I was hugely grateful to be offered it. And that's the story.
That's phenomenal. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. We truly appreciate it. And, you know, knowing that you've been with different companies, and as you say, you kind of transitioned into Disney, what do you feel sets Disney apart from other businesses? I mean, you could work with any company globally. So what keeps you with Disney, coming back each and every day? And you seem to have such incredible passion for the business, for the people you work with. So tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, if you are passionate about storytelling, my degree is in film and literature, and I'm very passionate about entertainment and media. We're peerless. We're absolutely peerless. And with all of the, you know, we've got obviously all the big brands, Marvel, Star Wars, Disney, Pixar, National Geographic. But then during the acquisition, you know, bringing in Searchlight and all the legacy also of the Fox businesses, it's just such an array of incredible storytellers. And you see the impact that those stories have out there every single day. And you're part of that conversation. You're part of the company. But in addition to that, you know, one thing that really was striking coming into Disney was the collaboration and the culture of collaboration. At Fox, we had, as people talk about this the whole time, it's an incredibly entrepreneurial culture, and country managers, you know, 100% ran 100% of their P&Ls. But it wasn't a collaborative cross line of business culture. That's not how they were set up to be. Everything kind of worked independently. So I didn't know the distribution people. I didn't know the people at Searchlight. I think that coming into Disney, not just seeing how the storytelling elements work together, but of course the juggernaut that is our, you know, parks and experiences business, our consumer products and licensing business, our wonderful stage business here in the UK. Nobody's got that flywheel. You know, all of those consumer touch points that have been generating moments that matter for people, you know, for 100 plus years. And I think, so where else could there be? To me, there's not even that thought that would go into my head. I mean, if you are interested in what I'm interested in, and if you also have, you know, a real passion for people, this is the ultimate.
Well said. Well said. Absolutely. And I think, you know, you mentioned becoming the country manager at a very difficult time. You know, during the pandemic. But I feel like we've really come out the other side, and we've just continued to enhance, and we've continued to, you know, expand our businesses. How have you found that being just even over these past few years?
Yeah, it's amazing. So I think there's a few things that really strike me. I think that the resilience of what we used to call legacy businesses, I don't necessarily think that that's the right word, the resilience of perhaps the more traditional businesses, obviously the rocket ship that is Disney Plus and how it's going from strength to strength. And then obviously the parks business, incredible. So yes, I think that that when people can't necessarily enjoy the things that they love, obviously the media and entertainment they could have in their homes, but, you know, the real passion to get out there and have proper, you know, real life, in real life experiences, I really showed through in terms of how well the parks is doing as well. So I think it is incredible, but not counterintuitive, right? And I think the other piece is what's really struck me is that how much people need people. So, you know, we made a lot of adjustments, didn't we? We worked from home. We made it work. There were a lot of things that we learned to our benefit that were good about that. And retaining some of that flexibility moving forward is really, really important to show that, you know, there is another more balanced way of doing things. So to retain that coming through. But then, you know, once we have people in the office, the just how people love being with people. And it's really important, I think, in any culture, whether that be a creative culture or sales team culture, it's really important to be together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it comes back to that big collaborative piece, as you were saying, and it's so good to bring everybody together. So, Deborah, you've had the great opportunity to work on some amazing projects, you know, over the years. Can you share with me maybe some of your favourites, some of your highlights?
Do you know what? It's really hard because, again, I have had so many incredible moments that I'm like, is this a job sometimes? I mean, sometimes I definitely know it's a job, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when I was going back to those early years when we were launching the National Geographic Channel in Asia, we had no money. I mean, we had no budget. And so this was the days where I just picked up the telephone and called some Nat Geo explorers and asked them if they'd go on the road with me for a month. So because the reason that we did that is it's much easier to launch and get publicity when you're traveling with real world superheroes who are really out there trying to save the planet and have got such a following in markets like India. So me and my merry band of, you know, some of the most amazing National Geographic explorers. I mean, I got to spend a week in Taiwan with Jane Goodall, who you may or may not know, but is the pioneering, amazing, incredible woman who, with no training, went to Tanzania and learned how to live with chimpanzees and changed how we view on our nearest animal relatives forever. And is an amazing woman. But long story short, lots of them. That is just one example. But right up now, I can tell you one from this week. I mean, actually it's last week because it's only Monday today. It was on Friday. We'd had quite a tough, tiring week, been a lot of activities and events. And I had the privilege to start my Friday morning with a meeting with all of our BIRG leads. And we have various groups, including Enabled, which is all about visible and hidden disabilities. It is about, you know, pride. It's about diversity and inclusion, women at Disney, that really look to create moments in our calendar and to celebrate and educate and to provide further understanding to create more inclusion. And I sat with them and they presented their plans for the year and how they're all going to work together. And I just came out of that room. I'd gone in a little bit tired. I came out absolutely elevated. They were brilliant. They were wonderful. And these are people that are all doing this on top of their day job. And I'm looking forward to an amazing, amazing calendar of activities and events. So I know that that's, you know, not a massive moment where we launched Disney Plus or, you know, we launched XYZ networks, but it's that everyday piece that that just don't forget. You've got those moments every day. So that's just a recent example of something that was really incredibly uplifting.
No, that's wonderful. And obviously, Deborah, last year was such an important year for the Walt Disney Company as we celebrated our 100-year anniversary. And, you know, I know just part of EMEA, we did so many incredible things in recognition of that amazing anniversary. So Tell me a little bit about, you know, some of the work that went on behind the scenes in terms of the events that we did in celebration of that, and maybe even some of your favorite moments.
One of my favorites was we held the 100th exhibition here at the Excel Centre. And essentially, it's funny because I had seen bits of it before. I'd seen what it was going to look like. I spent the day there. But the most moving thing for me actually was I went into an area which was dedicated to the sort of the soundtrack of Disney, right, through the decades. And obviously, this is something you don't see before because you're listening to it. And I put on the headphones and I just was in front of this big board that had certain things that you could press and listen to. And there were things that I had forgotten that had moved me so much. I was pretty much in tears standing there because I was like, oh my God, I'd forgotten that moment. And whether it was I'm the King of the Swingers from the Jungle Book, you know, my dad was a very dour Scotsman. A couple of times he laughed was, you know, watching a Peter Sellers film or watching that played out in Jungle Book. So that was one of them. And then the original Parent soundtrack, I listened to that as well. And there were loads of them. It was just things that you'd kind of, you wouldn't necessarily have them in the front of your mind, but when you listen to them, you were transported back to those moments of togetherness that you have as a family or you had at a point in your life. And they were so deeply in there that it was just such a beautiful experience and one that I wasn't expecting. I think it kind of took my breath away a bit. I was surprised at my own reaction to it, but it was absolutely wonderful. So that for me was a highlight, but there were so many of them.
Incredible. Obviously, you know, Deborah, you've shared that you're right there in Hammersmith. You know, you're currently working in the London office, but what makes working for Disney in London different compared to some of our other offices around the globe?
It's the European headquarters, which is lovely. And it means that you have every line of business substantially represented here. So it's a microcosm of the Walt Disney Company, which is incredible, absolutely incredible. So that's a real privilege to be part of that. Now, a lot of our countries obviously have all lines of business represented there as well, but it is wonderful to have it at such scale here. I think also the reality that the Walt Disney Company has, you know, a long legacy here in the UK, starting back in the 1920s. So you feel like it's very much a fabric, part of the fabric of British culture. And a lot of great films made here. And also still today, how much, you know, we're contributing to the UK economy through all of our huge investment in films and productions here in the UK, which is, of course, enormous. With our studio at Pinewood, with our Disney Plus originals, with our ongoing channels work. So I think that real, you know, being a storytelling production hub that is the UK, you really feel that vibrancy around you and massive, meaningful, you know, from Star Wars right through to, you know, Disney Plus originals being shot here is amazing. So I think that's incredible, stitched in with such a rich legacy. And just the amount of fans you have here in the UK, it's incredible. And so the reception that I get when people find that I work for Disney, you know, is amazing. So from cab drivers to little kids to whoever you meet out. So it's, yeah, there's, I think, so essentially very long legacy in the UK, very vibrant, big production hub. The fact that you have all lines of business at scale makes it an even more wonderful place to be.
Agreed. And you've spoken a lot, obviously, about, you know, your career, how you've advanced your career over the years. And I love the fact that you said you took time to understand the different businesses that you oversaw to really, you know, build that credibility and respect as well, which is amazing. And I love that about you. What advice would you give to somebody that's just starting out their career that wants to get somewhere even close to the level that you're at right now? Or what advice would you have given your younger self?
In a way, I kind of want to say don't think about it too much, because I think one of the most important things is to be you. People like people. People like working with people that they relate to. And I think the more you show of your true self, you're more relatable. Like the minute you try and say, right, I'm going into this meeting and therefore I have to squeeze myself into this business speak or this box or whatever, there's an importance to obviously being business ready, to knowing what you need to know, but don't feel you have to do it too at the expense of your personality, right? So I think be yourself is really important. And I think just that whole notion of really getting to know the people around you, understand what it is that they're really looking for, and take the time to connect with them and kind of keep your personality there at the same time, I think is really important. It's not just a linear thing of I need to learn this and I need to learn that. I think you need to engage with people and just really think about what it is they want.
Awesome. Great advice. Thank you for sharing that, Deborah. I appreciate it. I just have a couple of more questions, and one I would love to ask, and I know you can't give too many spoilers, but can you share maybe some of the projects you're currently working on that we've got to look forward to in the future without obviously giving too much away that you're not allowed to?
Yeah, I mean, my priorities are obviously the company's priorities. So we continue to work towards on a path to profitability for Disney Plus and growing that business, which we're all super focused on. Very specifically, I'm working on the advertising side of that, which is going very, very well. We obviously have a bunch of priorities also on the network side of the business. Honestly, what I'm most excited about is continuing to work with all of the people within the company. I think that, you know, as a team, we work really well together. And I think that, you know, my priorities for the next 12 months is just to make sure that we continue to do that and celebrate our wins, because we've all been very much focused on, you know, getting the job done, and we're back in the build phase and we're doing all of those elements. But I'm really looking forward to taking the time to press pause every now and again and say, okay, right, well, that's gone really well. Let's take a minute to celebrate.
No, that's wonderful. Well, like I said, Deborah, it truly has been an honor and a pleasure speaking with you today. Before we finish, there's something I like to do on a podcast, and obviously Disney has its own Fab Fives, but I like to do something called our Fab Five Favorites. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to do just a fun couple of Fab Five quick questions, if that's all right.
Sure.
These are dead easy, dead easy. Okay, so the first one is favorite Disney character.
It's tough, but I would go Elastigirl. Reasoning is because I have three kids. They're now 19, 17 and 15. So when the first Incredibles came out, we really loved it and got into it. And of course they have three kids. I also relate to her. I feel like, you know, I have a lot to juggle, and we watch it as a family all the time. We watch The Incredibles.
I love it. Excellent. Alaska, brilliant one there. All right. So your next question is favorite Disney movie.
These are all going to be emotional to me. So it's The Parent Trap 1 and 2 together. Because I went to an all-girls school and we only got to watch films every now and again. Believe me, it wasn't as way back as the first, I think, which was shot in the 60s, Parent Trap. But we watched it at school, which was fun. And then I watched it again with my daughter, who was the spit of Lindsay Lohan at that age. And still now, she's 15 and a lot more grown up, but we still cuddle up and we watch it and we cry every time and laugh every time. So The Parent Trap.
Love it. Question 3 is favorite Disney song.
King of the Swingers.
There you go. Love it. You mentioned it already, so it's coming back once again. Good one. So my fourth question for you then is favorite attraction.
I would have to say it's not an attraction, but it had us in fits, absolute fits. It was where in Paris, they've got like another fave film of our family was the Monsters, Inc. area. And where you had to do the scream machine to see how far you could scream, obviously. And there was a little kid. And we all had a play in that, so it was great fun. But there was this tiny, tiny little kid that going up there and just made the most incredible sound that had everybody, including us, in absolute stitches. So messing around at the Monsters, Inc. wall in Disneyland Paris. I know it's not an attraction, but it was incredible.
Amazing. That's awesome. Thank you. Okay, so here you go. Fifth and final one. This might be the trickiest one of all. Favorite show, either past or present, on Disney Plus?
It's tough, right? Because there's just too many. So Modern Family, because we watch it as a family, and it's just the gift that just keeps giving, no matter how many times you've watched it. I'm going to do more than one. I'm going to cheat, obviously. I loved Under the Banner of Heaven from FX. If you haven't watched it, watch it. Incredible. And again, there's so many, but we'll go by what we watch as a family and just get in front of 911. Can't beat it. The most crazy disaster at the beginning of each one, where they amp it up, and then this incredible ensemble collective cast go from tragedy to resolution in one episode. Obviously, there'll be arcs that run through multiple episodes, but it is just the most brilliant procedural. And that's another one that we can all get in front of. Obviously, there's a ton of stuff that I watch sort of by myself, but I think those are three that just jump out at me today.
But like you said, you know what? It's important to think of these ones that you watch as a family, because I think that's the beauty of Disney Plus. When at the end of a very busy day, you find a program that you can sit down and enjoy that quality time as a family, and then have something to talk about afterwards and chat with on days on end, which is great. Deborah, it really has been such a pleasure and an honor speaking with you today. Thank you so much for your time and allowing us a little insight into Deborah Armstrong, the person, and the SVP as well. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So that was Deborah, Senior Vice President, General Manager for Networks and Advertising for EMEA and Country Manager for UK and Ireland. But now we are heading on over to Denmark to meet with Hans, Senior Vice President, Country Manager and General Manager Media for the Nordics. Now, like Deborah, Hans also oversees content distribution, and we cannot wait to learn more about his role for the Nordics. So, welcome, Hans. Hans, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Natalie. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to this.
Absolutely. And well, I have to say, you know what? Just listening to your title there, I mean, that's quite an impressive title. Senior Vice President, Country Manager, General Manager, Media Nordics and Baltics. I mean, tell me a little bit about what that means. What are the main responsibilities of your role?
First and foremost, it's the role as Country Manager. So we have 10 different lines of business. Very similar, I think, to many of the other territories, everything from our streaming business with Disney Plus, our TV networks, our theatrical business, consumer products, publishing, games, music, stage, and so on. So I represent across all those different businesses the role of leading the teams and the actual business in 8 countries. So the Nordics in Baltics is Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland. And of course, Iceland, which is quite small. And then you have from the Baltics, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania. And it's about 32 million people that reside there. At Disney, we reach about 60% of the population in that region on a weekly basis. So we have quite a big reach. We have about 300 partners and work with companies from our region that include H&M, Lego, Spotify, IKEA, and so on. And in terms of our teams, we have representation in 6 of the countries out of the 8, and we have offices in 4. So that's a bit on the Nordics as such. And then in terms of my remit, besides leading the business overall, there is obviously the part of the media division. And for media, of course, in the beginning, it was very much on the TV network side. And then in 2020, here in this region, we launched Disney Plus, which has become a great, great success across the region.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what you have on your shoulders. I mean, that's quite a large operation that you run day to day. And I think if I'm saying right, you came to Disney about 6 years ago. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I started actually at Fox, and that was actually how I I came into Disney. I started in Fox in 16, and then in 19, Fox was acquired by Disney. So I came as part of that acquisition back in the day.
You mentioned, we've launched Disney Plus now in, different regions. And you mentioned that, I think you said, we're now active in 6 of the 8 regions that you oversee. I mean, you've probably worked on some incredible projects in this time that you've worked with this company. But what would you say has been one of those truly enjoyable projects or one of the highlights of your career with Disney thus far?
You know, there are many projects that we have done and launches we've done, but I think the biggest accomplishment we've had in our business in this region is really that, everybody talks a lot during these days about transformation of businesses, right? Back in 19, when I joined, we did a plan of transformation, like many do. And the focus of that was really how do we switch our revenues and our business for the future? And the beauty of it from our side is that although the Nordics and Baltics, again, 32 million people in total, might be small versus some of the bigger countries, both in Europe and the rest of the world, these countries are quite solid when it comes to technical infrastructure, when it comes to mobile and broadband penetration, willingness to pay for digital entertainment and so on. They're very digital savvy, very much on the level of US and UK, which means that when we looked at transformation, it was a great opportunity for us to do it here in this region. So the plan overall for us was that we would target that half of the revenues that would come in during this 3-year period at the end of that period would come from digital. And now it's by far the majority of what's coming in is from digital. And that's from great projects and launches such as Disney Plus. It is, in the publishing business from print to audiobooks that we've seen the changes. It's from physical retail to e-commerce with partners like Amazon, for example. It's music streaming, digital transactional versus the in the older days, physical home entertainment. So in every facet of what we do, we've made that change. And you can see that in the numbers. And I think that's something to be very proud of from a business view, and it also resulted in that we've achieved the best financial results ever in the history of the company in this region.
Absolutely. I mean, what you've achieved is just incredible. You and your team, as you say, such immense pride for what the team have achieved. You know, you mentioned about, how much, we're continuing to thrive in this business. And, as we look at innovation, and I think, you've said yourself that tech world continues to advance at a rapid speed. So what does the future look like for your industry?
Well, I think for us as a company, the future is very bright. I think we are probably one of the companies in the entertainment space that are best positioned, right? We have the heritage of our brands and characters, which mean quite a lot in the world, but also in our region in particular, when we look at that. We also have, with the launches like Disney Plus, shown what we can do in the digital space and as we've transformed with success. So I think we are very well positioned. I think the next thing for us is obviously how we solidify that position and build on it further, right? We just rolled out here in our region together with UK and Germany, France, Spain, and Italy, different price plans for Disney Plus, for example, where we also have advertising as one of the tiers. That's a part that we're definitely building on. We're also launching local productions from our region, which we look very much forward to. We just finished the first one, which is called To Cook a Bear, which is a crime story from the Nordics. It's very much from the very, very north of the Nordics. It takes place back in the 19th century, and it's based on a very known book from the region. So we look forward to launching that and other local productions here in this region, and then adding to that storytelling that the company has built through the years. You also have to remember that versus many other territories across the world, here in EMEA and in Europe, Disney Plus, when we launched, started out like everybody else with Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, the National Geographic. But then soon thereafter, we launched a sixth brand, which was Star, which featured entertainment content, general entertainment content. And that has been a huge success for us. But for us, it's part of the evolution, but it's also part of the education for the consumers. We started out by saying, now there's a product called Disney Plus, and everybody knows what Disney stands for. But in that, there's also Marvel superheroes, and there are Star Wars, and so on and so forth. That was a bit of an education process. Now the next part has been, now you know all of that is under a Disney Plus umbrella. The next thing has then been to educate people and raise awareness of, around Kardashians being on Disney Plus, or a Beatles documentary, or The Bear as a fantastic series being on the service too. So it's really step by step, and we're just getting started on building that even further.
That's great. I mean, you mentioned some wonderful projects that you've got coming up now, and you've spoken about, you know, the representation of the Nordics in you know, different projects that you're doing as well. So for yourself, Hans, as you support the Nordic region, why is it important to protect and evolve our uniquely Disney, Nordic and Baltic culture?
A couple of things, right? First and foremost, what Disney stands for has always stood for is the highest standards of quality and integrity when it comes to both what we create, but also our people, right? So how do we retain that? How do we build on that? Our culture is a big part of what Disney has always been, coupled with what is actually happening in the world and how has that evolved. And then the other part, which is local culture. So how do we adapt that to the markets we're in, right? And that is really the magic, right? Those are the three different components. And then the other parts is who do we serve, right? We serve our consumers, we serve our partners, and we serve our employees. What we do on a regular basis is we track that with what's called Net Promoter Score, NPS score, where it's about how likely you are to recommend Disney in those three segments, right? And that's across all our businesses. So we track that as an important KPI that all of us can look at. And I think that's one of the most important things is it is we know what we stand for and how we should conduct ourselves, portray ourselves both internally and externally, and we make sure that we also measure that, right? Because it's key for us to make sure that we're on top of our game to keep ourselves top of mind in our Disney way. So that's one of the ways that we do that.
I love that. And Hans, you've had such an incredible career that some people would only just dream of, and you could work for any company in the world. So what keeps you coming back to Disney?
Through my career, worked in some very good companies. But I think that there is something, you know, when we talk about the Disney magic, it exists and you can feel it. And I think that's one of the reasons why you choose to work for Disney. It's both because of the content that you know since you or have known since you were a kid, but also what it stands for and represents in terms of values. And I think those values are values that I can represent. So I feel very comfortable with that. I also think that it's quite unique in terms of we are a global company. We have the vast majority of what we do is global content or global characters that do resonate across the world. But we also have quite strong local autonomy. So how do we take that content and make it relevant for the local countries? How do we use this? Which partners do we have? And I think we have a lot of freedom to actually work with our characters, work with our franchises, work with our brands on a local level. And that is, again, quite a unique combination because that's not possible in all companies. And then I think it's also a matter of the people that are there, going back to the values. I think everybody feels comfortable with what we stand for and represent. And when you were here, because it's a global company, you meet people from many other countries, territories, cultures, a very diverse mindset, different perspectives. And for me, that motivates me quite a lot. It gives me lots of inspiration and energy, hearing different things, getting new ideas. When I talk to a colleague in Spain or whatever it may be, great idea. Maybe we can use this or change this. There's so much in that, actually. So I think it's that mix. And then obviously, we are all very proud of the stories that we share with the world. And I think with what we now have of studios and what we deliver on in terms of stories, there's so much variety in that. As I mentioned, in terms of Disney Plus, just explaining that we have everything from reality to music documentaries to you name it, big dramas for the more adult audience or the well-known shows for kids. It's such a big variety and so much to be proud of. So I think the content is something that we all feel very proud of also.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think it's, you shared there about, you know, making sure we have something for everybody, right? Something for the kids, something for the adults as well. And, you know, when you mentioned about Star, I think that was a great thing to talk about, you know, because maybe not everyone wanted the Disney or the Pixar, or maybe not a Marvel or a Star Wars fan, but then still Disney Plus had something else to bring to its consumer as well, which was fantastic. And what would you say, Hans, has maybe been one of the biggest lessons that you've had while working for Disney?
One of the things where, because we have so many different lines of business, that is key. And I think that the company has always been very focused on, and probably more focused than any others, has been around brand protection. We have so much value in the brands that we have. And for many of them, there's so much history in those. And it's both a privilege and honor to represent them, but it's also a responsibility. Right. So I think a key lesson is really kind of ensuring that as we expand and expand brands like we're doing with Disney in terms of Disney Plus, and also putting other brands under that umbrella, that we have to ensure what that actually entails, for example, for Disney as a brand and so on. So brand protection, I think, is something that has been a key focus for the company. And I think that is very important. And also it's something for the future also to watch out for. Then I think the other part is, in the beginning when I joined the company, I think, how do you maintain, we were talking about culture before, how do you make sure that you maintain the culture of Disney as you add other companies in, right? And I think adding Fox in was a very different animal and culture. I came from there, so I know. And how do you make that work? And then at the same time, it is not just employee groups from Disney or from Fox, but also as we grew on the digital side, you also need to add other competencies, right? And that means people from outside, from the tech business, digital business, and so on. And how do you make that whole culture work for everybody? I mean, we work with kind of a mantra, which is we want to be the happiest team on earth. And that is the mindset that we have with our leaders all across, right? So how do we deliver that, both in terms of our employees, when they look at job satisfaction, job motivation, when we have our different surveys and so on, we obviously track that, but also how do they feel as a team, and especially for us, when they are a team that are spread out across four countries and don't necessarily sit together, right? So how do you still connect them while them being apart? So I think that is a big part. How do you work with people in the world we are in now, where we're at the office 4 days a week, but for us, it is still four different countries. And at the same time, a lot can be done by Zoom. So what does that mean in terms of that connection between people, that kind of generation of generating new ideas and so on and so forth. So I think there's a lot of learnings we've had along the way of becoming even better on that, which is important, not just for now, but also the future.
No, I would agree with you on that one. You know, even just myself, you know, placed here in the UK, but a lot of my connections and businesses are over in the US as well. So we definitely thank technology. But as you say, it's all about that magic of Disney and working together as one team. So some great learnings there along the way. We've spoken a lot through this podcast about growth, you know, how the company is growing exponentially right now in all lines of the business. Which is very exciting for our teams right now, because not only are the companies building, but the opportunities for them to grow their careers are more prominent than ever now, I believe. And so, Hans, what advice would you give somebody who's looking to build a career like yours?
I think for me, what characterizes what I've tried, at least, has been not being afraid to venture outside one's comfort zone. When I started in media, I started in radio. I was very passionate music and radio fan. And then I got a job where I then grew kind of through the ranks and I headed up 28 radio stations in Europe. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I love it. And then we tried as a management group to do a management buyout. So we tried to buy the radio stations from its owner. And that failed. And when that failed, that meant that these radio stations were folded into a TV group. And I met the boss of the TV group, and he said to me that he had no interest in radio. And I was heartbroken. That was kind of where I came from and how I imagined myself moving forward. But then he said that he had been tasked with selling the TV stations that he represented. And that was a time where linear TV was booming back in the day. So he said, I'm fine for everything we're doing right now, but we're missing a digital story. So he then offered me a job heading digital, or as he called it, and this shows how a long time it is ago, he called it, would be head of internet, which seems quite broad, but that was what the title was. But I had no digital experience. I came from radio. I didn't know anything about it, but I said yes. And again, had I thought too much about it and said, well, that's not for me and all that, then I probably wouldn't have ended up by being where I am today, because this was a great opportunity to try something completely different. It was way off my comfort zone, but I said yes, and I never looked back. And I worked with really good people, surrounded myself with people who knew a lot about it and who helped me learn. And along the way, yes, you make mistakes, and especially if it's uncharted territory like this was. But you should never be afraid of stepping outside, because it can greatly benefit you. And at least for me, that's been key, right? Don't be afraid of that. And then also, if somebody comes with an offer like that, that's probably because they see something in you, right? So you also have to trust them.
Love that. Great advice. Thank you so much. Well, I have to say, Hans, it's been such a joy and a pleasure speaking with you today. And I can't thank you enough for giving us your time in such a busy schedule that you have. I know we're close to finishing, but before we do, I just want to do something a little bit fun with you. I like to do something called your Fab Five. So are you okay if I give you five quick questions?
Sure.
Awesome. So number one, favorite Disney character?
Donald Duck.
Yes. Any reason?
Well, I grew up with Donald Duck. Every week I got the magazine.
He is number one, right? Donald Duck. Perfect. Okay, question number two. Your favorite movie?
Favorite Disney movie is The Lion King, both the animated and the live action.
I agree. Yes, they did awesome with the live action. That was great. I agree with that one. Awesome. Okay, number three. Do you have a favorite Disney song?
Oh, there are many. Bare Necessities from The Jungle Book.
Yes, true classic. I love it. All right, number four. Now, you've probably been to many parks around the globe. Do you have a favorite attraction or ride at one of our parks?
My favorite, I've been to two parks. I've been to Orlando and I've been to Paris. So I'm still missing a couple, to say the least. In Paris, there is is it called The Small World, which I went with my daughter when she was little. I remember that as being very nice with my daughter. So I'll take that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, your fifth and final one. You mentioned some great projects that you've got coming up. Do you have a favorite project upcoming?
There are a lot of good ones and you don't want to single out. But should I single out, it is what we're doing right now in terms of local production. We're looking at a slate for next year with some really strong local content. And I can't wait for us to share that with the audience here. And thereafter, share it with everybody else across the world, because that's the beauty of it, right? Produced one place, but then sharing it with everybody else.
That's awesome. So exciting. Well, Hans, once again, thank you so much for your time. It really has been a pleasure. Best of luck with everything you've got coming up. And thank you to you and your team for all you do for us as well. So truly appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a joy. Thanks.
Well, if you like this episode, be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you want to learn more about how to make Disney a part of your story, well, follow us at Disney Careers on all social media platforms or visit DisneyCareers.com. Stay tuned for our next episode and we'll see you real soon. This episode was brought to you by Ali Fisher, Jaron Kufman, Emily Lee, Ruth Hallamy, and John Hughes. Editing by Alexis Gonzalez Flores. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group Incorporated. Design and graphics by Wei Ling Zheng. And a special thank you to the Walt Disney Company EMEA teams.